Now I want to look at what the revenue calls special categories of workers. There are special rules which apply to some categories of workers, including divers and diving supervisors, something perhaps we won't have to deal with, office and other cleaners, the employment of a person by their spouse, the employment of a person by a relative in a private dwelling house. We have special rules for lecturers, teachers, instructors, entertainers, examiners, moderators and invigilators, returning officers, counting officers and their staff, and workers supplying services through intermediaries, known as IR35, and of course the managed services companies legislation. There is not enough time in one podcast to cover all of these special situations, some of which are quite complex, but I will touch on one or two of them for you. Workers in the TV and film industry are dealt with by two specialist units. Local Compliance Eastern England at Weardale House, Washington, is responsible for engagers in film and video production and TV commercials, whilst Local Compliance Northwest and Midlands at Trinity Bridge House, Manchester, is responsible for BBC TV and radio, independent TV broadcasting, satellite and cable companies, and independent radio companies. They deal specifically with status inquiries for workers within the industry, and specialist guidance for workers in these industries is available in the form of a 28-page booklet that can be downloaded from the HMRC website. This guidance covers non-permanent, casual and freelance workers and the operation of PAYE and NICs. AIT members could find this relevant and might come across it in preparing accounts or tax returns for freelancers in any of these industries, some of whom, if they are performing artists, may be accepted as self-employed for income tax, and yet the engager may be required to deduct Class 1 NICs from the fees received, if those fees are similar to salary. One problem you may encounter is that you will not be able to get a P45 as such a worker. HMRC does not permit the employer or engager to give P45s to people who are self-employed, even though they have Class 1 NIC deductions. I know that IR35 is a big issue for many AAT members, although my advice is normally concentrated on the engager or the potential employer. The engagement or employment of individuals is the main HMRC status target, and workers of IR35 intermediaries should not be a problem for the engager or employer. My key message is always that the employment, engagement, procurement procedures should be in place to guarantee protection to the engager. IR35, introduced in 1999, switched responsibility for operating pay-as-you-earn and deducting Class 1 NICs from the payer or prospective employer to the intermediary, the IR35 limited company, or it could be a partnership. There must be a valid contract between the two companies, or between the employer-engager and the partnership. A contract with the individual worker will not succeed. Another vital point is that all payments must be made to the IR35 company or partnership, the intermediary, and not to the individual worker. Next, I want to discuss non-executive directors within this special category. A non-executive director is an officer with a fiduciary responsibility, and the fees are chargeable to income tax as emoluments or employment income. The fees should be paid through payroll, with income tax and Class 1 NICs deducted. Having said that, I know that many non-executive directors have been accepted by HMRC as self-employed, perhaps because they have a number of non-executive posts and are treated as professional non-executive directors. The main problem is that NIC regulations define an employed earner as a person who is gainfully employed in the UK in an office or employment. And on that basis, Class 1 NICs should be deducted, because a non-executive directorship is an office. Deduction should be made even if they are accepted as self-employed for income tax. Also, what about their travelling expenses? Non-executive directors may live a long way from the company's head office. Are they claiming home-to-work travel and subsistence expenses? Are they claiming for expensive hotel accommodation to attend the board meetings in London, or one of the other major cities perhaps? If they are, there may be other liabilities to settle with HMRC. One point to consider here is whether the non-executive director may be performing a dual role, that of non-executive director attending board meetings, and that as a consultant to the company. If we can establish that as the case, the two roles should be separated. The non-executive director role should be paid through a service agreement and through the payroll. The consultancy fees should be paid gross. I would still check that the consultancy arrangement will stand up as self-employment, and of course there would be the option of the consultancy fees being channeled through an IR35 company. It is a point to be careful of.